When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. My name is David and today we are continuing in our series of FPL team reveal videos. We go and have a look at what the experts and pundits are thinking for their teams at the start of the new season, and I'm very honoured and privileged today to be joined once again by the reigning FPL champion himself. It's Ali. You might know him from Twitter as FPL Guns. He's back. It's the start of a new season. He's got a team ready to go and he's going to share that with us today. It's great to have you here, Ali. How you doing?
Hi David, I'm doing great, thank you. It's been a good couple of weeks of a break after a sensational season. I'm still getting messages of congratulations and it's really overwhelming, and it's nice to be here again.
Yeah, well, as you say, we've been on before. I spoke to you in the aftermath of you winning the title, and we were talking about just your general life before we started recording, of just the fact that you're still super busy because, you know, now that you are a reigning FPL champion, everybody wants a piece of the pie, don't they? Everybody wants to keep on talking to you, and yeah, it's going to be a busy year for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, first of all, I'd like to announce that I'm an official scout now. I'm a member of a fantasy football scout family. It's been a good season for me, knowing all the content creators, but now being amongst the people that I've been watching on YouTube and getting a lot of tips from, it's nice to be a part of a family now. Just want to tell you that I'll be sharing some of my videos on my page. It'll be on Fantasy Football Scout website. Weekly videos with Jenny, monthly articles by me. So it's I'm looking forward to the next season.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really good. And yeah, a regular opportunity to pick your brains each week, especially with Gianni as well. Of course, is a very entertaining man, but also at the same time, very good at FPL. It's going to be fantastic watching that content, I have to say. And yeah, we're just very honoured and privileged to be able to have that on our channel. So it's very mutually beneficial. Good for us, fun for you. And at the very least, it's going to keep us all busy. So yeah, it's going to be an exciting year ahead. And well, your year ahead is obviously going to start with the team that you lay out for game week one. And so I've put that up on the screen so far. Now, of course, lots of things are sure to change between now and game week one. But you've had an opportunity to put your initial thoughts into your first draft. And yeah, it's looking very interesting. Lots of players in there that look like good picks. Lots of players in there that look like good differential picks. I'm going to run through it just line by line for the benefit of the podcast listeners, and then we're going to come into some of the key talking points. So Fabianski and Areola are the goalkeepers. So West Ham double up there. We've got a starting defence of Estupiñan, Shaw, and Zinchenko. We've got a five-man midfield of Rashford, Matoma, Saka, and Ciso and Mbeumo. Haaland and Jesus up front, with a very interesting looking bench of Ake, Trent Alexander-Arnold and McAtee from Luton. So the first thing that leaps out to me from this team, which I'd love to pick your brains on, is three Brighton players. Some people have got maybe just one midfielder. Some people have perhaps got one midfielder and a Stupinan, but you've got two of their midfielders and a Stupinan. So what's the thinking there? What's the theory behind the Brighton love?
I think they will go on with their style of football, attacking, creating a lot of chances. And the budget-wise, their assets really, really, affordable in terms of even if you look at Enciso, he had a price rise of 1 million. But I think with the departure of McAllister, he's the one who'll be in number 10 position because they haven't signed anyone yet for that. I think they've signed a striker from Watford, João Pedro, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right.
So the for me, the triple up isn't really, you know, a question because you know you get value with Brighton players. And which triple up was the main question for me. But I was basically, I'm still considering even Ferguson up top because he's a good value. He's only 0.5 more expensive than Nciso, but he's playing a striker. So I think a lot will depend on the preseason games because we have to make sure, we all have to make sure that some of the players we're picking are 100% nailed. So and Nciso, I'm really looking forward because every time you watch him play, even the goal he scored in the last in the penultimate game of the season against Manchester City, it was just, you know, out of this world. And you can see his drive going forward. You can see his desire. His shot from distance is absolutely amazing. And I think he's a, you know, a future star in the making. So I'm really hopeful that I can, and it's only 5.5. What could go wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, he's priced very kindly, isn't he? For, you know, having him as a differential, you know, you're not really losing very much to have a player at that price point. And I suppose in lots of seasons, there is usually a player that does well in that bracket, or maybe two or three. And, you know, by having someone penciled in for that price bracket, if you needed to move away from Nciso to someone else in that price bracket, I suppose you could. You've made an excellent point about preseason, so I'm just going to use this opportunity to flag the preseason benefits you do get with Fantasy Football Scout, one of which is the preseason minute spreadsheet, which gives you a guide of all the teams that are playing this summer, and it will track every player who has played in the preseason, every position they've played in, and how many minutes they've played it in. And so that is going to be very helpful for answering some of your questions you mentioned there about Brighton, especially with European football coming up. You know, there could be a bit of rotation for them. So knowing which of those players are the most likely to be rotation proof, the best way to find that out is to sign up to Fantasy Football Scout membership and access the full version of that preseason spreadsheet. But just bringing it back to your team, we've also got Mitoma in there as well. And I suppose he's in a price bracket for you where you could also have had Gross, you could have also had March. So I wondered if perhaps maybe having Mitoma was a placeholder. You know, you've got the opportunity to have one of those 6.5s at Brighton when you are more certain over which one is the best. Or alternatively, if you've already settled on Mitoma as being the best of the three. So what's your thinking there?
I think the pricing this year is absolutely amazing in terms of the options we have in a 6.5, 7.5 bracket. It's I think I've counted around 13 players over 10% ownership at the moment, which are in a bracket of 7 and 7.5. That means like you can have good quality players for the same, pretty much the same price. That will do, you know, really, really well, and they can rank your, they can actually damage your rank. It's for me, 6.5 is a budget price, is a price that you can basically, you know, play with, go down from them, or maybe buy someone else for a million more. It's Mitoma is by far the best option out there. Of course, I have Mbeumo as well, but I'm not. I'm just going there because of his ownership, and this is a question mark for me before the end of the season because I have to see a lot from him in the preseason before I go on him.
Hmm. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, well, we'll certainly talk about Brentford and Mbeumo in a little bit. As for Mitoma, yeah, I mean, I can totally see why he's everybody's favourite. I mean, of those three, we talked about Gross, March and Mitoma. He is the one who is more advanced and more of an attacking threat. Are you a little bit concerned about the fact that towards the end of the season, he was getting a lot of chances, not putting them away? Or do you think that he's going to iron those out in the preseason and get back to his best in terms of actually sticking those chances in the net?
I think he had played a lot of games by the end of the season because he's not used to it. I think even De Zerbi in one of his interviews has mentioned that some of the players have to, you know, get used to playing 2-3 games a week. And Mitoma has done well minute-wise because he was rarely rotated. And even with the style of play of Brighton, it's an energy consuming game for them, and I think it could be the reason could be a lot of minutes, but we'll see how the season starts. And he's definitely got that quality in him, and he's proven in last season, assist potential, goals potential, it's all there. And for 6.5, it's just a good option.
Yeah, definitely. The price point is I think the best part of it, really, with him. And I suppose we've talked about there being 6.5s in other teams and in the same price bracket. My final question on Brighton is in terms of their fixtures, because they start really nicely. So, you know, I'm obviously very interested in them as well. They've got Luton at home game week one, Wolves away game week two, West Ham at home game week three. They do have Newcastle at home and Man United away game weeks four and five. And their fixtures get a little bit harder after the start of the season. So I wondered if you had already had a look ahead to that. Are you happy to hold those guys through the difficult fixtures? You know, do you think they're going to be fixture proof, which is the term people often use to describe players that can do well in even difficult fixtures? Or are you wondering about maybe using them to step on to perhaps Chelsea, or, you know, Madison, for example, is available at Spurs and their fixtures get nicer around that time? So I wondered how wedded you were to Brighton relating to their fixtures, really.
The first fixture swing comes in game week three, I believe, because Chelsea have better fixtures after game week two. I think with Brighton, I'm not really concerned about their attacking potential because they can score against anyone, just like they did against City. They've done it against Arsenal. They've won Arsenal at Emirates, which was a painful watch for me. But attacking potential is always there. It's just a matter of you know, having a defender in a team, whether he starts or not. So I'm not really concerned about attacking players, but triple up might be rare up there, but everybody will have Estupiñán and Mitoma. Having in Ciso, one extra attacker would be a differential for me. So that's when you gain over a current template. So it's just a matter of maybe rotation in next game week. That's part of the reason why I have two defenders on my bench.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about that in a minute because it's a very exciting looking bench, that's for sure. What we've got on the screen right now is the season ticker, which we just talked about Brighton's fixtures there. And so it's just another opportunity for me to very shamelessly plug Fantasy Football Scout membership again, because the season ticker is a very, very useful tool for working out when those fixture swings take place, as Ali was talking about, game week three being the first of those. If you are a Scout member, if you've got the package that gets you the season ticker access, it's fully interactive, so you can flip it and flop it, and you can sort it by attack potential, defense potential, you can sort it by rotation as well, all sorts of great things you can do, and it's really, really useful for helping take your team from one week to the next. So yeah, make sure you check that out and sign up for Scout membership for that reason, as well as the preseason stuff as well. But let's come back to your team, Ali. So the one big thing that we also have to ask everybody, and I want to say I'm sick and tired of asking this question because I'm asking it a lot, but really I'm not. I love asking people about Mohamed Salah. He's not in your team, but that's not really that uncommon, to be honest. He's not in my team. He's not in the general's team. He's not in, you know, Joe's team. I'm just not seeing him in a lot of places. And, you know, I'm probably seeing him in maybe one in three teams that I'm sort of looking at on social media or on Fantasy Football Scout or in the comments section of videos, things like that. You are one of us, shall we say, one of the no Salah gang. How much does that scare you? And do you have at the back of your mind a worry that you might perhaps need to build a Salah draft just in case you need it if you panic before the game week one deadline?
I've tried building it, building a Salah draft, but the rest of my team really looks not the way I want it. It could be good for the first couple of game weeks, but I'm always planning it a little bit a long term, because in that case I will have very, very little room for change in terms of the transfers, and with a lot of new players for Liverpool, I'm not sure what the style of play they will implement this year, because they have a completely new midfield. How will they integrate with an attacking three, or what's the front three, the strongest and starting front three for Liverpool? It's still up to a debate. So we'll look, obviously, a couple of good games for Salah before the season starts can really change everything. But for me, a price tag of 12.5 million, it's just a little bit a stretch because back in the days when you know we knew there's only Mane, Firmino, and Salah, you knew basically that most of the points will go to Salah. But at the moment, we have Jota, we have Luis Diaz, we have Gakpo, we have some other attackers that really, Darwin Nunez even, you're not sure how they will line up and what's the system change that Klopp is going to implement. So it just, I'm not saying I won't have Salah, but for now, there's just too many good players in the midfield that I want to, you know, utilize in my team.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, a lot of people have talked about not having Salah because of the captaincy problem, in the sense that you'd only probably captain him in one of the first six, and that Haaland's best. But Haaland is still probably one of the better candidates for game week two, even if he's not the best. Is that enough to break your team? Not really. You make an excellent point also about Liverpool as well. Not many people have touched on that yet. In that, how are the goals going to be spread around that team? Now, Salah, of course, could be involved in them. But yeah, it's very hard to predict what the Liverpool starting lineup is going to be this season. And, you know, if they chop and change a lot, for example, you know, is Salah going to play different roles from one game to the next? There's a lot of things to wait and see. And I suppose preseason will help answer those questions. But as you say, when you boil it down, you can just field a much better team without him. So it's scary times because I think we all agree he's a good player, but, you know, we just can't find room for him for now. We just got to keep our fingers crossed that he doesn't make us regret it later.
In any case, you have to, you know, have it back in your mind that there's a route for Salah without wildcard as well, because you might want to put someone, a 9 million player, or someone that you can actually get to Salah easier than, you know, you just have to plan ahead for a circumstance where Salah, let's say, scores a hat-trick against Bournemouth and you don't have him. And everybody just jumps on it. So you have to keep that in mind.
Mm, yeah, which is very scary because he's so expensive. You'll have to work out ways to get him in. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. And as we said before, preseason will give us an indication of where he's at. So let's go into the specific positions of your team in some more detail now. So we'll start with the goalkeepers. We've got Fabianski and Areola. We've got 4.5 million and a 4 million goalie at West Ham. Now, my first question, of course, is this price point influenced? You know, did you just want to get a 4.5 and a 4 million and placehold it for other people? Are you interested in the West Ham defence? There's a little bit of uncertainty as to who the first choice goalie is, which could make Areola a start at 4 million. For example, so what's the thinking here? How much do you reckon this position could change for you between now and game week one?
This is up for grabs for me because it's I know that potentially Areola is a 4.0 starting goalkeeper because Fabianski has had a injury problems in last couple of seasons, but it's just a placeholder for now. But I'm looking for a good 4.5. Goalkeeper, which I'm not planning to rotate with Areola. It's just the matter that I think after the under-21s final for England, Trafford is going to be in a lot of teams, so I will have to keep an eye on him as well. So, but for this draft, I think West Ham United, they might have a better season than last year in terms of start of the season, but we'll see. The goalkeeper position is still up for grabs. It just I wasn't sure if Areola starts. In case he doesn't, Fabianski is there. So and their first fixture is 4 months away. So it's I wouldn't like to use transfers to switch goalkeepers, but things don't always go to your plan. So.
Yeah,
that I wasn't lucky with my goalkeeper picks last year either. So,
I mean, I've got to be honest. It's been a long time, to be honest, since we've really been able to sit on a goalkeeper and feel like we got the right solution. So, I mean, I was one of the people that doubled up on the 4 million goalies last year of Ward and Iversen, which actually worked out for me eventually because I had sufficient patience, which, by the way, is not me saying I'm an extra patient man. I just had bigger problems to solve and stuck with them both long enough until they went on that little run where they started keeping clean sheets. But most people had moved away by the time that happened and it ended up trolling them. And then a lot of the guys we'd maybe want to have, the 4.5s of old, those players that hit that sweet spot in a defence between clean sheets, goals conceded, bonus points, saves, penalty saves, all that kind of thing. A lot of them were 5 million. And in the end, it proved to be David Raya, but a lot of us didn't invest in time, for example. So it's been a long time since we've really been able to turn around and go, do you know what? I got the goalies right this year. So you're not alone, I have to say. You know, and of course, I mean, you won FPL. So in a year where you didn't feel that happy about your goalkeepers, you know, it clearly didn't matter.
Went well for me, so goalkeeper position was one of them.
Yeah, and certainly it makes sense for it to be up in the air. I think we're in a little bit of a goalkeeper toss-up in the summer. There's lots of goalkeepers that we're not sure where they're going to end up this year. You know, we don't know what was happening with De Gea. Man United might sign Onana. Raya might be going to another club as well, which might open up Flecken and Shikosha at Brentford, for example. You mentioned West Ham's fixtures. Like, they aren't amazing, but they could get lots of saves there because, like, Bournemouth away, that's not bad. But then it's they face Chelsea, Man City and Liverpool. It was three of their first six matches, for example. Could be a lot of saves there, potentially, for a 4 million, that's for sure. And then their fixtures get a bit nicer after that. So, yeah. But it's not the most exciting position, is it? And, you know, we have to talk about it, but, you know, it's not the most fun. But what is a more exciting part of your team especially, we have got five very exciting defenders all in your squad, which means you've benched two of them at the moment. So it's Estupiñan, Shaw, Zinchenko, Ake, Alexander-Arnold. And this is one area of your team that is very different to the template because, first things first, I don't think I've ever seen Trent Alexander-Arnold on a bench before. But also just having five defenders, I mean, it's kind of big at the back, but without actually starting five of them. So, you know, it's kind of a half and half version of that. What was your thinking there?
The logic behind it is just rotating backline. So I'll be playing fixtures with it. Plus, I don't like to wildcard early. So I will make sure that I have enough players not to wildcard. And whichever of these five defenders perform bad, I'll just, you know, bench him in the next game and, you know, try to manage the squad as it is with minimum transfers. So the main logic behind it is just save transfers. And since there are a lot of good players in the 5 million bracket in the defensive options, it's just a no-brainer. I cannot pick between, you know, Ake or Arsenal defenders. It's Zinchenko now, but it could well be, you know, Gabriel because of his attacking threat from the set pieces. And it's just, you know, a matter of managing your squad. I don't want to make unnecessary transfers just to, you know, feel good about my team because I'm always rolling in a second game week. So I'll pretty much... I'm pretty sure that I'll have two free transfers by the game week three, and then I might need a, you know, mini operation with three transfers made with a minus four, and bringing in players that, you know, that I needed. So, but the benching Trent Alexander-Arnold is something that I've gotten a lot of stick for on Twitter community and. I think it has a great, great potential against Bournemouth, but I'm not sure about Chelsea away. And plus, we have to see how Chelsea develops with Pochettino in charge. And if they're scoring a lot of goals, though, probably Trent will still remain on my bench. But if not, I'm happy to play him instead of not sure who, but I'll make a decision because Chelsea-Liverpool games are, you know, often 0-0 draws, and the clean sheet is not, you know, something that we see rarely in those fixtures. So it's a possibility as well.
Hmm. Yeah, I know what you mean. I think of Liverpool's fixtures, that is one of the hardest ones. You know, Chelsea could be very exciting this year. We've done a few bits of content on that. So if you want to go and find out in more detail what we're thinking we're going to see at Chelsea this year, go and check out our scout report on Pochettino and what he could bring to Chelsea. And one thing we're mostly all hoping for is that Chelsea are going to score some goals this year. And of course, Liverpool's defence hasn't been too solid in recent years. So it could buck that trend and maybe be a bit more high scoring this time. So I can understand why you'd be a bit worried about his clean sheet potential there. And of course, he is a lot better at Anfield as well. Man City defence is a little bit of a challenge for people. I originally had John Stones in my first draft, but then I looked at some of the early fixtures and worried a little bit about rotation because it is Pep. And I actually swapped Stones for a Stupinian myself. But you've still got a Man City defender. You've held your nerve so far. Is Ake who you feel is the best one to own? Or again, is it just a case of someone's going to emerge, so I might as well just get a placeholder for now?
Yeah, it's between him and Stones, I believe, because I really liked Stones in the you know, inverting fullback position, and he scored quite a few goals last year, even in Champions League, and he's always a threat. But Ake has the same level of threat if he plays, so it's. It's just a matter of Man City keeping clean sheets, I would say. And we'll see how they... first game is the Burnley away, and it's the opening game of the season. So I'm not sure if I even want to captain Haaland in that game. So that's why he's benched at the moment. Ake is benched at the moment.
Yeah.
So you never know what to expect from Burnley. Because it's company in charge, not Sean Dyche. It could easily turn out, you know, as you know, a tough fixture for City away at Burnley. So I like the fact that there's, you know, so many options in 5 million price bracket, and I don't want to miss out on any of them. One of them is just becoming popular. I have to make sure that I have it in my team without spending the six of transfer.
And the other advantage, I suppose, is that if any of the 5 millions don't start the season too well and maybe a 4.5 does, it's much easier to switch in that direction and step down from the 5 million. You know, we're finding that in a lot of drafts that if you overestimate how much money you might need in any given position, it does give you a bit of flexibility moving forward. And I suppose a Man City defender almost certainly could be one of those ones you might have to move on just because they rotate a lot, or as we saw last season, they would do very well in terms of defensive numbers in the sense they wouldn't concede many chances, but they would still concede a goal anyway. So, you know, if that trend continues, then at the very least you can move Ake on perhaps to a 4.5 or something like that.
Yeah, and another thing is that 4.0 and 4.5 is not really appealing for me because they're just not many options. Matty Cash from Villa is okay for 4.5, but again, like, I'd rather have a 5 million pound player and then maybe switch from him to a lower price. But it's just, you know, still just shooting in the air, you know, like shooting in the dark, or I shall say. We don't know yet a lot. We don't have data. There's still a lot of transfer to be made in terms of the Premier League teams. So we'll see how the transfer season develops, and you know, hopefully this team will change a lot. So we'll just discuss it then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the summer is all about tinkering, isn't it? A lot of it is around price points and teams. So let's move into midfield, where price points and teams very much seems to be the foundation for how you've picked and chosen there. We've already talked about your Brighton guys, but we've got Rashford, Saka and Mbeumo. Let's start with Mbeumo, because I feel like he's probably the easiest one to talk about, because Saka and Rashford sort of come from a realm of which is the best player from that team. I might need a bit more discussion. So let's start with Mbeumo, who is overwhelmingly the most popular player from a Brentford perspective. You've already mentioned the ownership. How do you feel he will do this season in a team without Tony?
I think that it's a little bit of a recency bias playing in our heads, because he's finished the season well, even scoring against Spurs, leading the you know, front line. He's on penalties as well. He's surprisingly really young, that than he looks. You know, he's only 23 or 24, so he's still got a lot of potential in him, and I think he'll do better than in previous seasons. But I'm not sure if, in the absence of Tony, he will be the playing striker for them, because he's been really good on the right flank, on the left flank, and I think he's just a good option. Looking at his price tag as well, so Mbeumo is one option that I'm planning to go against, but for now he's in my team just because there's no point of going different from the beginning, but I might consider going against his ownership in game week one. So but for now he's I have nothing against him. He's a good option. He's a template for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not the end of the world, really, to sometimes pick some players at the start of the season that everybody else is going to have, just to keep you protected in those early weeks so that you're not necessarily starting from the back of the grid in many ways. So, yeah, I can understand that. He very much has become perhaps the first big bandwagon of the season before we really get going. But I suppose with Man United and Arsenal, they are a bandwagon as a team, based around their fixtures and the fact they've got good options and good prices. But, oh, there's so many choices here. So we'll start with Man United. That's, again, the slightly easier one. It's, in effect, Rashford versus Fernandes. There's 0.5 between them. Rashford's the more expensive one. You spent the 0.5 extra to get Rashford. Do you think that he's the best option? And do you think that he will remain in your team? You know, how wedded are you to him? If you needed 0.5 later on, would you be happy downgrading to Fernandes? Yeah, what's your thinking on that particular 50-50?
I think he's pretty nailed in my team, because he just a few seasons ago, Rashford was a really frustrating asset to own because he would miss a lot of chances. But last season, he's absolutely up his game, and he's came back from the injury a completely different animal. And I think he's one of the players that he must own in game week one, because the picture is there. Even with the pricing, I think 9.9 million is quite, moderate for Rashford. In terms of Bruno Fernandes, I just love the fact that the FPL decided to price him like that, because pricing him over 10 million has always put him away in terms of, potential. And it was always a good choice when the double game weeks kicked in, and only for short term. But now he's a genuine option for a long term, because of his stats, because of his recent performances, because of his attacking potential, and because of the penalties, because we're not sure who's taking them, either Rashford or Bruno. So 8.5 for Bruno Fernandes is just amazing. And I love the fact that a lot of midfielders in that price bracket, because it just makes, template a little bit spread amongst the players, that there's a lot of options to choose from. So that's why having a expensive player just does not put you off him. Even Son, for example, for 9 million, no one would even consider him for over 10 million, but pricing him at 9 and pricing Bruno Fernandes for 8.5 is just an amazing move from FPL, and it just adds a little bit more excitement in the player speaking, because you have a headache, and you want to have that headache when picking your team. It's pricing doesn't make it easy for you.
Yeah, you want to have lots of choices, that's for sure. And having lots of 50-50s is also really exciting as well. It makes match days, there's always a big contrast if one of them does well and one of them doesn't. So it kind of sounds like you wouldn't be too opposed to maybe having both of them, Rashford and Fernandes, if Man United had a really nice run of fixtures, perhaps when maybe Arsenal didn't or some of the other clubs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is a lot of fun if you can have them both.
It all depends on the preseason, of course. As I mentioned before, I've checked the ownerships of midfielders yesterday, and there's around 13 players which are owned by over 10%. And if you just pick one of them, 10% of the game is over 1 million players. if you don't have a player who's owned by over a million players, you know, and he does well, you know, you definitely get, you know, destroyed of your rank. And I mean, so many options and so many, you know, when there's six or seven, knowing that there's 13 of them, just a simple math, you know, you can only fit five midfielders, let's say, and you'll be missing eight potential players that are, you know, priced moderately. They're really from good teams, because Manchester City mids, United mids, Arsenal mids, even Spurs mids, they've all priced in around 7 and 7.5, 8 million pounds. So there's too many options. It definitely makes the game exciting.
Yeah, lots of choice. Well, you've mentioned Arsenal there, so let's move on to them, because you've got Saka at the moment, 8.5. Same price as Odegaard, 8.5. 0.5 cheap, 0.5 more expensive, I should say, than Martinelli at 8 million. And we've got Jesus up front, so I guess we can leave him for a second, because we'll talk about his strikers in just a sec. But yeah, the Arsenal attack is very popular at the start of the season. Really nice fixtures, especially that game week one game against Forest. Is Saka your absolute favourite from those three, or can you see yourself switching to Odegaard or Martinelli before the start of the campaign?
I think the way he performed for even England and Arsenal in the last game, Saka is by far the most popular option from Arsenal at the moment, because he's on penalties, he's a rising star, his stats are up there, and his goals and assists, you know, last season were just amazing. So Saka is only, there's only a way up for him, and he'll improve even more. The alternatives would be Odegaard and Martinelli, as you know, but we're not sure about minutes. You know, Martinelli could be, you know, rotated once the Euro kicks in, because let's not forget Arsenal's playing Champions League this season. And for the start of the season, I think they will pretty much stick with the same 11 like last year. Only a few arrivals like Declan Rice, for example. It's not announced yet, but I think it's officially done. And in the midfield, it would just bring a lot of stability. And but maybe in attacking options, I don't think it you know, there's a wrong way of playing it when you pick Martinelli or even Kai Havertz or Odegaard. It's still, you know, these are really, really hot differentials out there that you can go for. So the points will be widespread between those players, and I don't think you will do much wrong by picking Martinelli or even Havertz if he plays in a, you know, in a Xhaka role. I think there's a lot of options, and basically Saka is just up there because of some of the set pieces and penalty appeal.
Yeah, those definitely help his appeal. And one thing I've noticed is that he has the vice captaincy tag on him at the moment, Saka. And you have already sort of alluded to the idea that you maybe feel that Haaland's not necessarily the captain for you in game week one with that game away at Burnley. So you are basically the first person I've come across who's even dared to go against, you know, the Church of Erling Haaland, that it, you know, religious institution that it has become, for the captaincy for sure. Is there the possibility that you might captain an Arsenal player in game week one with that Forest game?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It will be, you know, hard to take if the first game of the season and a hat-trick from Haaland goes in, and you have to watch the whole, you know, all the other games afterwards. And but it's a possibility. It depends on the season he you know, on the preseason he has. And some of the away games, he's really had difficult times back last season, and I think it's an option. It's an option. I wouldn't rule out captaining Salah, even Rashford against Wolves. I think it's a good option.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed we get a little bit of a bandwagon going for Captain and those guys so that we've got, as you say, difficult decisions, even with the players already in our team, let alone the ones who we don't have. So, yeah, I'm going to keep a keen eye on that. I'm going to be very interested to see who you do go with. And I suppose your commitment to Arsenal attack is obviously very obvious because you've got Jesus as well. So, yeah, talk us through having him in your team. Good price point, I suppose, $8 million. And, yeah, maybe a good stepping off point later in the campaign with some good early fixtures.
Yeah, that was a pick between a combination of Enciso and Jesus against, Ferguson and Martinelli. So the price points are there, which it will pretty much depend on the preseason again, and depends how well Ferguson goes for it and how good of a form Jesus has right before the start. Jesus has a high ceiling, even though he's he hasn't really fulfilled the potential that he had, but he has a good ceiling. I think in one of the first games last season, I think it was Leicester at home, he scored a brace and a brace of assist as well. It was a 19-pointer for him. So he's got that, high ceiling of potential high ceiling in him, but you cannot have all of them, and it's only three players from Arsenal you can choose. But it will be basically Ferguson and Martinelli versus Enciso and Jesus. So just a combination of Brighton and Arsenal players that I'm planning.
Yeah. Yeah, that combination is quite a useful way of looking at it. Do you feel, and I suppose in those two pairings, that's something you'll be looking at in pre-season to see which of those two looks the most useful. I suppose Martinelli and Ferguson are perhaps the two that are more, have bigger question marks over them in terms of rotation. That's probably what you need to look out for, right?
Yeah. And Enciso, I forgot to tell that he's played in every position up front. Number 9, number 10, on the right, on the left. So he's one of the players that are versatile enough to play in every single position. That might keep him in a team, but you never know with the Zerbi. He likes to, play his youth as well. So we'll see how it develops.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. And that is going to be much easier, as I said earlier, if you do have Scout membership and you can follow things on the preseason minute spreadsheet. So one last reminder before we go of heading to Fantasy Football Scout, go to members benefits and pick the package that is right for you. You obviously will get some preseason prices if you sign up now as well. You're going to get the preseason minutes tracker, season points projection, team transfer planner. You obviously get access to drafts from the best fantasy managers as well. So do not forget to sign up for that so you can follow the preseason to the best of your ability and then beat your mates in your mini leagues because you found all these amazing players before they did. That's the important thing. But yes, thanks very much for joining us today, Ali. It's been great to have you on. As we mentioned earlier, you can catch a lot more of the reigning FPL champion on Scout this year in terms of articles and videos as well. And he also, which everybody keeps forgetting to mention this, by the way, also came 215th the year before. So, this isn't just a fluke champion. This is a guy who really knows what he's talking about. Hopefully you agree with that, Ali. You've got the confidence to say that.
Thanks for the praise, but it would be ironic if I, really failed this season. And after all that praise, just finishing in 500K, and that would be just ironic. So hopefully not, but we'll see how the season goes.
Yeah, well, we've got all our fingers crossed for you, mate. It'd be good to see you have another good campaign, and I'm looking forward to seeing your videos and your articles as well. So yeah.
Likewise.
But yeah, thanks very much for joining us, as I said, Ali, and I will leave you fine folks to enjoy the rest of your tinkering with your teams, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.